Okay, so you wanted to tell me about what actually happened there.
I don't know what's the trouble with my samadhi practice.
Yeah.
I think I just get bored. I don't know if it's the object that's not suitable for me, or if I'm not practicing long enough, or if I'm not doing the right thing.
What are you taking?
Breath.
The breath. Breath around here at the tip of the nose, yeah? Yeah. What you can try is, yes, boredom comes up, you know, because there's some restlessness inside of that.
Quite a lot.
And that makes the object boring, yeah? Mm-hmm. The restlessness wants to go out there, yeah? And we try to keep it in, yeah? And then boredom comes up or tiredness comes up, all sorts of hindrance.
Does not come when I do body investigation. Like, for me, that's interesting. And
yes. But still you need samadhi.
Yeah.
I mean, without samadhi, you know, it's just thinking. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it is interesting and we like to think. Yeah? I mean, we thought our whole life, yeah? We'd always think things up, yeah? Yes, it is useful, yeah? Then concentrate on the body, you know, and then afterwards, eh, you will have to force your mind, you know, to go to the Buddha or to the breath. Or use foot with breathing in and door with breathing out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
You have to make the mind somehow, yeah? Quiet.
Yeah. Because I think, yeah, a lot of thoughts, they distract me, like, I don't know where I read previously, like, or some type of character, they don't have to develop so much samadhi, they can go directly. So this is kind of,
yeah. Yeah, and that's not true. I mean, the Buddha talked about seeing samadhi panya.
Mm.
So there's always concentration. And as I said yesterday also, I mean, the important thing, I mean, he stressed it, the Lord Buddha himself stressed it, yeah? I mean, to go into samadhi, or he said, to go into the jhanas, yeah? And then afterwards you feel refreshed, and then you can go to work. Yeah? Of course, because the Westerners cannot do it.
It's very hard.
It's very hard. That's why they don't like to do it, yeah? And that's why they all find, you know, excuses, yeah? But when you look at all these Kuba acharyas, yeah? All here in Thailand, or, you know, wherever there are good practicing monks or lay people, they all have done samadhi.
Yeah.
And it is not easy, yeah? I mean, I've done it, you know, I mean, I myself was a researcher who was thinking 24 hours a day, yeah? And it took me 2 years, you know, I mean, to really, because I wanted it, yeah? I can do it, you know, whatever you want, you can. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to really want it.
That's the problem, when the thoughts come and then...
You know, how often have you had these thoughts? Then do some investigation about these thoughts and memories that constantly come in. How often did you have them?
Mm-hmm.
And what did they bring you?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I mean, some of these thoughts you have 1,000 times, huh? And they don't lead you anywhere.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Okay. May I ask a few questions just to make sure I'm doing the right thing?
Yeah.
So, I'm focusing on the breath. I'm trying to... I feel like sati is when nothing else is there, only this. Only the knowingness of the breath.
Yeah.
But this is a very... I don't know, it's like kind of high stage, no?
This is extremely subtle, yeah? I mean, when there is only this knowing. But what happens before is, you know everything. And then this knowingness gets more and more focused, more and more concentrated onto one thing, yeah? I mean, you stay with the breath, yeah? And you know, in the beginning you know only the breath around the tip of the nose, yeah? And the more you get concentrated, this knowingness that is, there's a concentration, the concentration is around here. And at the beginning, concentration and knowingness is around the tip of the nose. When the concentration gets better, the knowingness drops into the heart. And then it starts to know, it starts to know the whole breath body. That means from top to toe, yeah? It feels it, yeah? And it also knows things outside. And then it starts to concentrate it inside, and then it gets rid of all the outside distraction and focuses just on the knowingness itself. But that is a long training, yeah? I mean, don't expect it to happen within 2 days. Yeah?
No. It's hard to keep up the...
And don't control the breath.
Yeah.
That's why I say, we live here in a monastery. We have animals. I mean, we have these squirrels, you know, we have these, whatever, we have these dogs. Sit down, or the ants, you know, lots of ants, you know, or even mosquitoes. Look what they are doing. Observe them. In this kind of observance, you have to do with the breath. You cannot control, yeah? But you know, when you look at them, you observe them, you know what they are doing, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't have to force that. You don't have to think about what they are doing. You see, you know, you observe them and you see what they are doing. You don't have to think about it. What is it up to now? You see them, you observe them, you know, watch from, like they jump from tree to tree and tree to tree, yeah? And then they look around, you know, I mean, you see them, they are scared, you know, I mean, when they are looking around like this, then they are scared. I mean, you feel it, you know it. And this kind of knowing that you need to put into practice with your breath. Don't try to make the breath smooth or, yeah, I mean, just observe it, right? Oh, observe the clouds. And now, I mean, at the moment the clouds are going. Observe anything, you know. I mean, you cannot control these things. And that's the same thing. We don't want to control the breath. And that is our biggest mistake. We always try to control the breath. Yeah? To make it short, to make it long, or to make it quiet, yeah. And then we suddenly, you know, need to breathe because, I mean, we try to control it, yeah. And this controlling mechanism is very subtle. It gets very subtle. Yeah? You don't even notice it, even. But once your concentration becomes stronger, you will notice. You know, it always tries to control something. Yeah. And that is not the practice. The practice is not to control something. The practice is to observe what is happening at the moment. Yeah? And the only thing that we control is putting the sati back to the place where we decided to stay.
And so when I stay with the breath, yeah? It should be only like completely shut off everything else.
No, you have to observe it how it is, because it will shut off itself.
But a lot of other things are going on.
Yeah, you don't concentrate on this. I mean, you are like a tunnel view, yeah?
Yeah.
You don't look at the other things, but you will not be able, you know, in the beginning, you will know them, they are around. And that is not a problem. But you do not concentrate on them. Yeah?
Okay. I think I get so irritated by all this. I just want to be with the breath and all these things are coming and that makes me more agitated.
Yes. And that is the wrong way, yeah? I mean, you have to accept the thing, yeah? I know it is very difficult, yeah, to accept the things as they are, yeah? You have to accept these things, but your interest should be only with the breath, yeah?
What if a really strong chelasa is
coming? I mean, it can be restlessness, it can be doubt, it can be sloth and torpor. I mean, there are quite a few. That depends on the characteristic of the person, yeah? Whatever is your characteristic, if you're very doubtful, you know, doubt comes up. You know, if you're very restless, you know, very active, I mean, the restlessness comes up, yeah, and so on. Yeah?
But what should I do then, like...
Yeah, just go back. Have them walk chongkrom. You haven't done that. Walking meditation. Yeah? Yeah? People in the West don't like to walk anymore, yeah? Huh?
I think there is a slight voice of doubt in my head saying, You don't have to shut everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Like, yeah. They want to have a door open.
Yes.
Yeah. So where they can always come in and control you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Don't listen to these voices. Yeah.
Since the day that I've switched to more body investigation and less rest,
yeah.
So interesting, like for 1 month certain kind of places were troubling mostly my mind.
Yeah.
Like fear and doubt and boredom.
Yeah.
Very strongly, like I was not really coping well.
Mm-hmm.
And since I switched, those places from my mind are gone.
Yeah.
But now I feel like they are manifesting on the physical level, like my digestion is bad and it's kind of like, is it like just the mind has just shifted into another thing, but the kilesas are still there doing
the
same
there?
Thing in the other.
How do you expect the kilesas? Yeah, the kilesas only you diminish the kilesas. Yeah, by really cutting down on greed and hate. Yeah. That's where you diminish the kilesas, by investigation of the body. But what you do now is not really investigation of the body, it is thinking about the body.
Mm.
And that doesn't cut down the kilesas, sorry about that. Yeah?
What about feeling the sensation? I come from the Goenka tradition.
Yeah, but the sensation will be there forever until you die.
Yeah.
And they will come and they will go and they will change. So what is there, you know, to understand?
Yeah.
It's just like when you have, there's wind, there's sun, there's cloud, there's rain, yeah? And they will always be there, and they will not change. What we have to do is we have to understand how, like I said yesterday, the clock, yeah? You open it up and see the gears, yeah? You have to understand how this gear works. And observing them doesn't help. Yeah? You have to dig down. You have to, panya, you have to ask the right question. Yeah? If you ask the wrong questions, you go into thinking. If you ask the right question, you get right answers. You develop wisdom. Not where is it coming from? It is there already. Yeah? What you have to ask, what came before? How does it feel like? Can I accept it? These are the questions that you ask. And these are the questions the kilesas don't really like, yeah? They want to think about this, yes, because of this and this, you know, and this and this, yeah? No. That's not the questions we ask, yeah? What came before, yeah? They don't want to know that. What came before this feeling, or what came before this thought, or what came before that, yeah? And what came then before that, yeah? So that we see how the gears, you know, I mean, the five khandhas, the five gears work, you know, to produce something that is actually not real.
Okay. So, shifting the attention just to another object is like, it's just a breathlessness.
What you can do with the breath, I mean, you can keep the whole breath body in your awareness. But you concentrate here. Yeah? That's what you can do. Or you can try put with breathing in, go with breathing out. Yeah? And investigation is really asking, yeah? I mean, it is the same thing, yeah? When we start body investigation, we take one object, we make a tour through the body, yeah? We take one object, for instance, the skin or the nails, yeah? And then we visualize them inside until they become very clear. And then we ask, yeah, these nails, you know, their skin, their nails, where is it, you know? And then we go into it, yeah? I mean, it's all the same thing. It's all the same material, yeah? But suddenly, you know, there are nails, yeah? Or suddenly there are hair, yeah? And there is no hair, yeah? I mean, yeah? Where is the hair coming from? You really want to know. And then you want to know and understand the nature of the hair, yeah? The nature of the hair, you know, divided up into the four elements, yeah? Into the earth element, water element, fire element, air element. Yeah? Because everything that exists in this world is made out of these four elements. But we can't see them. Yeah? Also, what we see is not what is there. Yeah? What we see is what we agree to see. Yeah? You're taught in school what you have to see, and that's what you see. Yeah? When they say this is this kind of tree, then you see this kind of tree. Yeah? But you don't see what it is actually there. Yeah? It's the same with the skin, it's the same with the hair, it's the same with the inside. Yeah? And one thing, you know, as I described more often is, you know, I mean taking the body apart and putting it out there. But you also have to visualize it.
That
is good, yeah. Mm. But make it more real, yeah. So I mean, when you take a raw saw, you know, and cut off your hand, yeah. I mean, you feel the pain, even in your imagination, yeah. And then you look, you know, and then you look, yeah. At the cut side, yeah. I mean, then you see the bones, and then you see the flesh, then you see the tendons, then you see the fat, you know, or the grease, and then you see the skin, yeah. And then put it down. That is more visualizing, yeah. Huh? And make it real, yeah. I mean, we went through all this. How often, you know, did we cut out, you know, did somebody else cut our hands? You know, we know these how this feels, huh? And there's a shudder running down the spine when we really do it. Huh? And that is helpful, yeah? Another question.
This is just something to satisfy my curiosity. When does the fear of death disappear? Does that disappear with Sotapanna? Like the actual fear of this bodily death?
I mean, it starts to disappear with Sotapanna, but you know, I mean, it's still, yeah, it's still on, yeah? Because the Sotapanna still has greed and hate, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly gone with the Anagami.
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, the Sotapanna is still attached to the body, you know? I mean, he still likes the body and he doesn't want to let go of the body, so there is a certain fear. But it's not the same kind of fear, yeah? It's everything, you know, it is reduced, you know, to maybe 10%, yeah? Yeah, with the Sotapanna, as before, as a putucana or whatever it is,
yeah.
A worldling, yeah? The worldling has much, much stronger feelings, much more stronger attachment than the Sotapanna, yeah? But the fear of death will still be there, but, you know, it slowly disappears and the Anagami doesn't have it anymore. I mean, he knows what is up, yeah? And an arahant especially doesn't have anything, yeah? The fear of death is, you know, the fear of the unknown, yeah? And even a Sotapanna already knows the unknown, yeah? So he will not be afraid of this. This kind of fear is gone. But, you know, the fear, you know, of the bodily pain and of bodily death, you know, is still there, yeah? It's still attached, you're very much attached, yeah? Sotapanna still can marry, have children, you know, I mean, for seven lives, you know, I mean, he can be, before he realizes this is all a folly, yeah? But, yeah, I mean, that depends. Okay?
Okay. I have a little donation.
Yeah.
Actually, I have some more things that I bought yesterday. I just left it downstairs. Shall I bring tomorrow?
Yeah, anytime you like.
Okay, thank you so much. Apologize if we made any mistake with intention or with nothing in the family community except for apology for any action that's been done to change action of God.
So, why do you leave?
Tomorrow.
Why? What?
The visa and the plane ticket.
Visa and the plane ticket. So you want to go back to Indonesia?
Yeah.
Huh? Indonesia is a very fragile country. Huh?
True. Yeah, true. Actually, back in Indonesia, I had...
You're in Sumatra. You come from Sumatra.
Yes,
Medan. Or was it Medan? Yeah.
A very old one. He used to train under Longpa Mahapua. I don't think you know him. He's from the 70s. He's very old now and it's incredibly difficult to meet, but all his teachings were like fit through all of the
what?
All his teachings went straight to all the problems that we had. But
yeah.
I think that I needed more guidance, which is why I tried visiting places like this.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, when you mentioned that when you were investigating and you need to ask questions and the curious come up with the answers.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned that we have to investigate the answer that the QSA gave us.
Of course. Otherwise you're fooled.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be fooled. Yeah?
Also, I'm curious because I've heard that Lopa Mahabua mentioned that Sila, Samadhi and Panya are practices that have to be taken together. And
yes.
Not one at a time, but together.
Yes.
Like a tripod or something.
Yeah.
So, how much of the samadhi is needed, before we investigate?
There are some investigation that you can always do. The reflection about birth, the reflection about death, that doesn't need so much samadhi. Yeah? For body investigation, you need to be able at least to rest your mind for 10 minutes without the mind going off this object. Yeah? Because, as I told her, you have to take the object, be it the hair, be it the nails, be it the skin, be it the teeth, yeah, to be able to visualize, to focus it on it. Yeah? And the mind should not drift off. And then, once you have the visual image inside, yeah, and then you ask the questions. Yeah? Let me burn it up, or let me destroy it, let me cut it up. Yeah? What is it? How does it look like? Yeah? And what is the difference? One time you cut up this organ, and the next time you cut up that part, yeah? And then you look, what is the difference between these two? Yeah? Why is it one called, the the liver, and one is called the bones? What is the difference between them? Yeah? What is the difference between nail and skin? The nails come out of the skin, which is the same material. Yeah? So you have to ask these questions, yeah? And you have to cut it up, and you have to happen, yeah? Or, for death, you can look at it, yeah? You place your whole body in front of you, and then let it die. And then just observe what is happening. What is going out first? What of the elements is going out first? What is going out last, yeah? I mean, what's the whole process of dying, or decaying, yeah? And for that you need samadhi. The mind should not be able to get off while you do investigation. Yeah?
So no hindrances are there when we investigate.
So normally I say about 10 minutes being able to stay on an object, on your Buddha or on the breath, without that the mind goes off.
10 minutes is enough?
For the start of investigation.
Because sometimes when the fear doesn't come up and the meditation is easy, I'm starting to notice that the mind is extremely, it doesn't want to stay, it just wants to rest.
Yeah, that is, when you do samadhi, then you do samadhi.
Yeah.
When you come out of the samadhi, then you do investigation.
Yeah, when I come out of samadhi, sometimes when I manage to practice, I just want to go back to the breath. It doesn't want to do anything.
Then you have to force it. Huh? Then you have to force it, yeah? I mean, when you read, you know, when you know a little bit about Lungpa Mahabo, yeah? I mean, Lungpa Man, after 5 years, he said, you know, you're just like a pig on a chopping block, yeah? Now get out of samadhi and do your investigation, yeah? Samadhi is important, yeah? But sometimes you have to force the mind, you know, to go into investigation, yeah? And that means forcing, yeah?
Teacher, the other one from Indonesia, he's a Thai monk, and he's a student of a teacher who used to be the student of Lumpur Lane.
Lumpur?
He's the student of a teacher, and this teacher was a student of
Lumpur
Lane. Lumpur
Van.
I'm sorry, I
forgot. It's too long, yeah?
He kept on mentioning to me to start investigating the body. And I only did it a couple of times because I was stubborn. But when I did it, there was just one time because I often go back to the breath when I do daily activity. But there was this one time when the first perception of people was starting to look like they're not being, like, they're like organs simply wrapped up in skin walking around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which, at that time, I don't know if I should just go back to the breath.
No. No, then you look at it. I mean, if these nimittas, they're called nimittas, if these nimittas are coming up, yeah, then look at it, yeah?
So not all nimittas are useful.
Not all nimittas are useful. Yeah? So, I mean, if a nimitta about the body, if you see, for instance, a corpse, you know, decaying in front of you, then you stick with it until the nimitta stops, yeah? You want to see it, yeah?
We don't have to ask questions.
No, no. Then you don't have to ask questions. If it is a nimitta, I mean, there is some sort of movement, then you don't have to ask questions, yeah? You just have to observe what is happening, yeah?
Also, the first day that I was here, I told you that I saw a very strong attachment to my parents. I tried to see the reason behind it. And it comes back to the fear of death, really, because they give me a sense of familiarity and security. So all this fear, when I try to look behind it, it comes from the fear of death.
Is it really?
Sometimes, yes.
It's not. You have not looked. You have not looked. You know properly into it. Yeah. It's not the fear of death, yeah? There's something else. And then you have to go into samadhi until there's nothing there, because there's no fear.
Yeah.
And then you go out, and then you investigate, you bring up this fear, and then try to look what is behind it.
Oh, I try to bring it up.
Yeah.
And then
see what is behind this fear. You have to catch the ideas that are behind this fear, the thoughts that are behind this fear. So you bring it up, yeah? And you look it, you observe it, and you stay with it. You feel it. How does it feel? Huh?
Because there was one time that when fear comes up, but it was the fear of attachment. It was like, when I was like maybe 15 or 16, it was the fear of like darkness or ghosts perhaps.
Yeah.
So I was curious. I thought to myself, where does this fear come from? So I tried to look behind the fear. But when I tried to look behind the fear vanishes, so I couldn't investigate further.
What happened?
When I looked at what comes up behind the fear.
Yeah.
I saw that it doesn't have any substance, and then the fear disappeared, but I couldn't investigate further what
Yeah, I mean, if it, you know, if you see that there's no substance, yeah, but there must have been a thought, there must have been a memory coming before that fear comes.
So I have to bring it up already.
Yeah, bring it up, yeah, and see what is behind it, yeah.
Also, now I'm dealing with pain.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I watch it, it can sometimes disappear, but
yeah,
it always comes back
yeah,
when I meditate.
Yeah.
So
but when coming, yeah, that's what you have to find out. When is it coming?
Yeah.
So after you're done your meditation, you go back, you know, do the reflection. What came before the pain? Yeah. And sometimes in it is restlessness. There's a little bit of restlessness still there. Huh? And sometimes in it is boredom. Yeah. And then the pain starts to creep in, yeah? I mean, it's some sort of thing, yeah? And if you're really good in samadhi, if you really develop your sati, you see, I mean, the pain announces itself. Oh, there's a discomfortable feeling, yeah? And then for 1 or 2 minutes, there's nothing, yeah? If you don't counteract this first, yeah? This first announcement of the kilesa, yeah? Just say, so what?
Oh, so I have to counter it the moment it starts to arrive.
Yeah.
I thought I'd just go back to the breath and I just ignore it until it becomes very intense. I have to look at it.
I mean, this is very easy, you know. It is the same as sleepiness. Yeah? You see the sort of sleepiness coming up. Yeah? And you said, I don't care, I want to stay awake. Yeah? And then you're suddenly completely awake. I mean, you have never been so awake in your life, yeah? Yeah? But most people don't even notice it, yeah? It is just one thought, yeah? So what, yeah? I mean, whatever you say, to counteract that, yeah? And then it tries it again, yeah? I mean, that doesn't take you out of samadhi. If you're in samadhi, you don't even notice it. You know, there's no pain in samadhi, yeah?
So, I noticed that from what you have taught me, that I should always investigate the causes of pain, because usually what I've been doing is simply like when the kilesa comes up, I just look at it and it immediately goes away. And I never actually learned from it. So.
Yeah, so I mean, there's no wisdom.
Yeah, it's only like...
So when Lungda Mahapur said, Sila Samadhi Panya, Panya is the wisdom. Yeah? So we have to look, we have to observe. One thing is observing how things evolve, and the other thing is to ask the right question. Huh?
So, also for the body investigation, I used to take the entire body, visualize it in front of me, and cut
yeah,
it like that. Or is it better to take one organ or part?
It doesn't. It really does not matter. Yeah. Whatever interests you. Yeah. But not always take the same, yeah? And sometimes you take a dog, sometimes you take the whole body, sometimes you take only half of the body, whatever, yeah? I mean, Lungda Mahapur said it, yeah? Before you do body investigation, make a tour through the body, yeah? And whatever object interests you, that's what you take. Don't decide, you know, with the mind, I want to take this or that. No. Get the mind after your samadhi, yeah, go into investigation, and then make a tour through the body, and then decide, you know, and whatever breaks your interest, yeah, or catches your interest, this you take, and then you stick with it. And then you forget about the rest.
So should I memorize the 32 parts first?
Well, why should you memorize it? You can just see them.
I asked Ajahn Sucharthi, and he told me to look at books.
What? I mean, there's some reason to look at books to see the asupa picture. Huh? But you don't need to medical books. That's useless. Huh? I mean, you just need to go with your inner eyes and you see everything. Huh?
Never tried that. I didn't think of that, because whenever my teacher told me to do asupa, I'm like, oh, okay.
You don't want it.
I did it several times because I keep on thinking that I'm not that proficient in samadhi yet. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I heard that one should be able to enter samadhi at any time, any place.
No, it's not necessary. No. But you should be able, you know, after the investigation, to be able to enter samadhi, you know, and rest your mind. Yeah?
Thank you.
What?
Atuba. The market is very, very good.
She said that when she sees knee pain, she could get through it, but then the pain comes up from the butt.
Yeah.
And it was so extremely painful that her ears are ringing.
There is always, you have to be very careful when you investigate pain. You have to accept it. If you start to dislike it, then there are other effects coming. So it strengthens the pain. Your dislike of the pain, you know, strengthens, makes it more stronger. Yeah? And we don't like to accept pain. Feel it. Just like breathing in, you know, the air, you know. Feel the whole, you know. Feel the whole.
Sometimes I try to separate the mind from the pain.
Yes, you can do it, but first you have to feel it. Because you want to separate, because you don't want to feel the pain.
True. But when the mind...
Remember one thing. If you want to overcome hell, you have to swim through the fires of hell. You have to know exactly how hell is. Yeah? And that is the same with any kind of feeling. Yeah? If it is pain, you have to understand pain. And the pain, you know, if you listen to some of the talk, there are three stages of pain. Yeah? I mean, what you're going to do is a preliminary act. Yeah? There are three stages of pain of death. Yeah? And only once, yeah, only once you pass through them, then there's no more problem. Then there's no fear of pain of death.